Hi, I'm Katie Stone Perez.
And I'm Nihil Sharkissi.
And welcome to today's episode of Level Up. In November, the Xbox team released an update for the Xbox dashboard, bringing a host of new features and experiences to our gamers. It also created new opportunities for developers to engage with and retain their players.
Today, we'll be meeting with a few of the people who helped bring the new Xbox experience to life. We'll take a look at game hubs on the Xbox One, the Xbox app on Windows 10, and then wrap it up talking about achievements and some design best practices. Hope you enjoy the show. Hi, I'm Nihil Sharkissi, and I'm here with Rob, who's going to tell us about the new Xbox experience. Hey, Rob.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you start off by telling us what you do here at Microsoft?
Sure. So I'm a program manager on the Xbox Experiences team. I've been with the Xbox team around 3 years. And around the original Xbox launch, I did some biometric sign-in stuff, some cool stuff with the Kinect, and now I do achievements and game hubs and profiles. So lots of social stuff.
All right, so game hub. So what is a game hub?
So whenever we originally kind of designed game hubs, the objective was to kind of give players access to all the content around the game. So a single destination for your achievements and your friends who play the game, game clips and screenshots around the game, and then also give the developers a cool opportunity to actually be able to reach out to their audience with an activity feed. So just like you reach out to your audience on Facebook or Twitter when saying, you know, there's new updates, here's some new content, here's some cool activity. We've got that same sort of thing on Xbox now where you can set up an activity feed and reach out to the gamers who are actually playing your games.
Cool. Now, where do gamers actually find the Game Hub?
Sure. So in the new Xbox experience, the Game Hubs are super easy to find. So right on your recently played games list right here, we've got links to your Game Hubs. So you can just click on them right here. And then if you're anywhere else in the UI, like pretty much anywhere you see a game, you can hit the menu button and go to the Game Hub to get to it. And then there's also the kind of the cool superpower that the activity feed has. So when a user goes and follows your game, then you don't need to actually go to the Game Hub to get all those updates about the new DLC, new content, stuff like that. It's directly on the community twist, so I can subscribe to the game and then I'll see all those updates flow into my main activity feed.
Cool. So when gamers go to their Game Hub, like from their recents list, what do they do once they're there? Like, what's the best way for gamers to engage with their content?
Yeah, sure. So there's lots of cool things to do in the Game Hub. So this is the activity feed tab. So we've got the main kind of showcase item where your game developer, or you as the game developer, can say, this is the most interesting thing that I want you to see. And then there's the rolling activity feed of all the interesting content that you've been posting day to day. The next tab over is your achievements tab, where we've got a list of achievements and then also the hero stats and leaderboards around the game. So you can see how much you've played the game. And this, you know, all these hero stats are game defined. So they're things in Minecraft, they're things like blocks broken and distant traveled, mobs killed. And then there's leaderboards around these all these stats, so you can see how you compete against friends. Next tab over is your friends tab, where you can see all the friends all of your friends who played this game. And then if there are friends who are actively playing the game in a multiplayer session or actively broadcasting the game, then there's a cool joinable section up at the top here. And then finally, the last tab is the captures tab, where you can see all of the trending content around the game. So the coolest screenshots and game clips around the game. Looks like some people created some giant Pokemon in Minecraft, which is pretty cool.
Very cool. All right, so what can game developers do to use these features to drive more engagement to their game?
Yeah, so I think the most powerful engagement mechanism that we've provided here is the activity feed. So we've got, so in addition to, you know, people being able to subscribe to your game and get those, you know, those updates in the activity feed section here, we can see that this showcase item text, the text that says join us on your weekly live streams, is actually featured directly on home in the recents list here too. So this is it's an opportunity for you to reach out to your audience directly on the Xbox home screen to tell them what's new and get them back into your game playing.
Cool. And how do developers set this up? Like, where does all this get configured? What kind of resources are there to help developers?
Yeah, so contact your account manager or your ID at Xbox account manager to actually get your game hub set up. And then it's a super simple process to actually start posting and start sharing to your showcase to get the text to show up on the recent list on home.
All right, cool. Any other best practices you'd recommend for using game hubs?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple key points to make sure that you've got the best engagements on your game hub. The first I'd say is just make sure you're using the showcase feature here to actually so that you're pushing out that message directly to your home screen. And then the second I think is just frequent engagement on actually posting to your game hub. So anything that you're posting to Facebook or Twitter, make sure that content is also on your game hub. And then we've also got a couple of like cool things that you can do just on Xbox. So you can do interesting things like sharing popular game clips directly, you know, from your fan base. Some of the more successful community managers do live streams on Twitch, and they'll post about upcoming live streams, and then you know, post an activity feed, a joinable activity feed item whenever they actually are broadcasting. So to reiterate, I think it's just make sure you include game hubs in the same social networking beat that you've got on your other social networks, and then take advantage of the other cool things that we've got on Xbox.
All right. Thanks, Rob, for coming to talk to us about game hubs on the new Xbox experience. Game developers, if you have any questions, make sure you talk to your account managers or visit ID at Xbox. Now we're here with Bill Schiefelbein, who's going to talk to us about the Xbox app on Windows 10. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you. So yes, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Xbox app on Windows 10. Something that was pretty exciting about it when we built it is we wanted to really embrace sort of that PC gamer. And the PC gamer has things like a mouse and keyboard, a nice high resolution screen. So something you'll notice right away with the Xbox app is, you know, it's pretty dense. It's got a lot of information because we want you to be able to see a lot at a glance, be able to move around the app. And one of the cornerstones, as you bring it up, is it's all about your games. Not only about your games, but also about sort of the community around those games. So just right away from that home screen, I can see the games that I've played. I can take a look at my activity feed and see what my friends have been up to in the wonderful gaming world, as well as see what friends are online right now, who I could start a party chat with, what games they're playing.
Very cool. I know one of the great new features on Windows 10 is the Game Bar. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. And the Game Bar, so this app is really meant to sort of enhance your gaming experience both on your Xbox console as well as on your Windows 10 PCs itself. The Game Bar is this awesome piece where we want to bring together the ability to record your content, be able to share it out. So when you fire up any kind of game on Windows 10, in this particular case, let's go ahead and take a look at Halo Spartan Assault. What you can do is when you hit the Windows G key, you will see the Game Bar come up. So this control here allows you, for any game on the machine, I can go ahead and take a quick screen capture of what's going on. Here you can say there was a screenshot save for Halo Spartan Strike. Or I can go ahead and record the last 30 seconds, and you can configure it to be the last 30 seconds or minute or more, sort of the Xbox record that functionality. Mm-hmm. Or I can go ahead and just start a recording right here. So here you'll notice my recording is started. The Game Bar will disappear. I can go ahead and jump into my game, for instance. And you'll notice in the upper right-hand corner there's the what we call the sticky bug, you know, the little piece that says, hey, I'm recording. We also added the ability in TH2 that you can have your microphone. So here you can see that my microphone is live. I can turn that on or off if I want. So I could do my recording with my voiceover of the great stuff that's going on in the game. And when I'm done with that, I can either bring up the Game Bar and hit stop recording, or there's, of course, shortcut keys. Windows Alt R is just the stop and start recording. And what happens here is you'll get the toast. Of course, you're going to keep playing the game. You're not going to stop right now. You're doing some awesome action. But then that idea is later, when I'm done with my gaming, I can go ahead in my action center here, and I can say, hey, I want to do something with that awesome game clip that I recorded previously. And so here, it'll take you right into the Xbox app itself to the game DVR section. So here's a case. There's that Halo Spartan Strike. It wasn't very action-oriented, of course. Here, I'll jump down to, say, one that had a little more action. Here's a Jetpack Joyride clip that I had. And maybe I just want to show, like, one particular piece, maybe right when I guess I don't die in this one. But let's say this part right here, I could go ahead and hit the trim button and do very simple sort of time in, time out, save that as a copy or trim the original, and then I can go ahead and share that up to Xbox Live. And so that's another one of those pieces of functionality. People love that with the Xbox One console itself, but PC gamers love sharing their clips. They know they've been doing it for years, and we just wanted to make it super easy to do that as well.
Yeah, that's a great way to drive engagement. What else is there with the Xbox app for both console gamers and PC gamers?
Sure, you bet. Well, let's take a little bit of a cruise through the app itself. One of the highlights, as I mentioned previously, is this activity feed. What is going on with my friends and in the community? So here I can see the game clips that are being shared, as well as, you know, achievements being earned, friends that are being generated, and so forth. Boy, I've got a lot of stuff going on. Here's a good one from Halo 5 Guardians, from my good friend Frank here, who's Rufus the 13th. And this is another piece. I'll just pause on this. Maybe Robert talked about this a bit. But we want to respect the ability for our gamers to be anonymous. We absolutely still have that support. But we also recognize a lot of people actually want to game with their real friends, you know, be it from Facebook or otherwise. And so this is something that we provide as well, is not only that gamer tag, but in that case where we're real friends, in this case with Frank, he's sharing my name. I know this is Frank Morrison. I can watch his clip here. I can go ahead and jump in here. So here's a case where he's got his clip going. There's some really cool action that's going on. This is great fun. I can go ahead right away and I can like his clip, or I can say something like, you know, that was amazing. And when I do that, what's fun is he just got a notification on his machine, whether he's on his Xbox or he's on his phone or he's on his PC, that says, you know, his friend Bill just commented on his clip. And so you can start that sort of social interaction again around your game, which is a lot of fun. And I can go to this thing called the Game Hub for, in this case, Halo 5 Guardians. This is another great place where you, as the developer, have an opportunity to interact with your community. So here you'll see Halo 5 Guardians said this, your votes have been tallied and Sniper is available all weekend long. It's that kind of thing. You get the feedback on this directly from your audience itself. And so here in that notion of the game hub, I can see the friends who play, as well as take a look at the achievements that I can earn for the game itself. And then that exciting piece of all those clips and what's trending and what's super popular in your game itself. And also this notion of, like, the people to watch. This might be folks who are doing, you know, our top gamers, for instance, or they might be top clip creators or broadcasters or something of the game. So it creates just automatically this community around the game itself. And even within, again, you as the game developer, you can also provide this showcase, be it a clip or a screenshot that helps represent your game. Okay, so you saw here, definitely the activity feed is one of the key components here. As I mentioned before, it's also about your friends. And the more friends you have, the more engaged you are with the community, the more gaming you'll do, and so forth. And so in addition to having your friends list right here for who's online, who's offline, we get presence information that shows up. We also have the ability to link your Facebook account. So in this particular case, I have my Facebook account linked. What will happen is if you don't have your Facebook account linked, there'll be an indicator here, hey, let's go ahead and link your Facebook account. And when you do, you'll get these suggestions like, oh, my friend Sean Collenkark, for instance, that I'm friends with on Facebook. I didn't know that he was Cracknalock, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, on Xbox Live. Let me take a look at Sean and what he's been up to, his activity feed of what he's been playing, who he's been playing with, the achievements he's earned, the captures. So it's this great way to be like, oh, of course, I want to make Sean a friend. So I can go ahead and just add Sean as a friend. And suddenly, as I do that, he gets incorporated into my activity feed, the gaming, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So this is another really important piece, is just sort of adding those friends and being engaged. And with the games themselves, if you are integrated with Xbox Live, you get a very rich, what we call the rich presence, where you can say, hey, you're playing on level 6, you know, as a warrior or something in this particular map. And you'll see the green ball, and I know Sean's playing Destiny or playing Halo or something, and you can jump right in. Even if you don't integrate with Xbox Live, there's a level of interaction that you can get just by being on Windows 10 itself. And so this is an example where the Xbox app itself has a utility function, which is here are all the games that I have installed in my machine. And it's not just the Xbox Live enabled games. You'll see here I've got Candy Crush Soda Saga, for example. This one is not Xbox Live enabled, but I can still see my friends who played on Candy Crush. I can also take a look at the captures of Candy Crush as well. And so this is an example where you can start just by being a UWP-based game in the Windows Store, mm-hmm. and then you add more functionality if you add Xbox Live with the achievements, the captures, the people to watch.
Very cool. Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about how the Xbox app interacts with the new One Store on Windows 10?
Yes, and so we just added a capability just within the last month. You can see right here, Rufus the 13 liked my comment, and so that was Frank. And so and this is happening real time. I did not set this up. And you can see that he's interacting, you know, he liked, and he's like, my buddy's absolutely getting passed. Like already there's comments that are going on here. This is this is just that fun, that's the engagement around these clips. Okay, the store. So we added some integration with the store into the Xbox app as well. And there's certainly the One Store itself that's on Windows 10, but as a gamer, as you're going around these game hubs, you're taking a look at what your friends are doing, we want you to be one click away from your game. Like, oh my gosh, he's playing something like Halo 5 Guardians, you know, I want to be able to get that, I can click through here and do so. So here you see we have a pivot of your Xbox One content, if you are an Xbox One owner, or you can pivot here to see what's available on Windows 10 itself. So here, Minecraft, Star Wars, some other games, Cloud Raiders, and so forth are available here. And in the case of the Xbox One content as well, you get your games with gold. I can go ahead and click through, see Call of Duty Black Ops 3, for instance, and be able to do the purchase right in line from here. Here I can see that there's a sale going on because I am a gold member. And I can purchase the game and it will start downloading. So we really wanted to make sure, and again, you're one click away from the game hub of Call of Duty, Black Ops, or Candy Crush, or whatever game there is. So we really want that social interaction to be integrated with that purchasing engagement with your games itself. Okay.
All right, so you showed us all these great features. Now let's talk about what do developers need to do to light up these features?
Right. And so one of the components, like I said, is you get a baseline of sort of free engagement just by being in the store itself. So one piece is building the UWP game, putting it in the store, and you show up here in the person's game collection. It can be launched. You can have your recent games that show up in the list here. You can have your users recording game clips and sharing it. So without you doing anything more than creating the UWP and going in the store, that gives you a baseline of interactivity. From there, being an Xbox Live enabled game, that's what gets you some of the interesting things like If I go to The Witcher here, for instance, and I take a look at achievements, obviously achievements is a big piece that you get. And a lot of people love, you know, hunting for those achievements. I can do achievement comparisons with my friends. And you also get this fun of sort of these global stats. So that's another big ask. And Robert probably talked about this. It's just as important on the console as it is on PC as well. And in this particular case of like number of kills, I happen to be at the top of the leaderboard for my friends for number of kills on The Witcher. So again, it creates that next level of interactivity with your community and sort of engagement for your game. So those are some of the key pieces that add more engagement and interest in the game. And as I mentioned before, presence is the other piece where you can actually have sort of that rich presence. I could right click if I'm an Xbox Live enabled game that has multiplayer functionality, and I see, for instance, you know, here's Rise of the Tomb Raider, and I could look for something like Destiny. So here's Sean, who was last playing Destiny, or I could look for something like Halo. I can quickly find my friends, and I can right-click on those friends or go and join a game with them. So those are some of those capabilities mm-hmm. that you get as part of integrating with Xbox Live.
Cool. So, I mean, for devs to take advantage of all of these features, like, how is all of this configured?
Right. So the other piece that we're doing here is, with this universal platform, we really are working across the console, across the PC, across the phone, to make this ubiquitous universal platform where you can go to the Dev Center, you can submit your game, you can configure through GDMP your achievements and so forth, you know, through XDP, and when you submit that and configure your achievements and so forth, it shows up across all these devices. And then, of course, you download it on the device that it was catered for and be able to play it. So it's the same kind of model that you've been used to in the past, just available now on Windows 10 as well.
Great. So what are some best practices that you would recommend for developers to really take advantage of these features?
Yeah, and so one of the best practices that a developer can do here to really show up well, even things, and I think you're all well aware of this, but just how your box art shows up and so forth, but engaging with your community where you can actually have a showcase here that you want your consumers to, your customers to engage with is a great practice. Engaging here on the Game Hub itself, thinking through what some of the stats here, you know, multiplayer Spartans killed, matchmaking victories, think about some of those global stats that really will get users to come back and get competitive, you know, with their friends or otherwise. The achievements themselves, just even the artwork that you use, this is an exciting thing where, you know what, people are starting to use that artwork not only for the backgrounds on their Xbox One consoles, but the same thing will be a possibility in the future of doing the same on your desktop or otherwise. So really think through, how can my content get out into the hands of users that they put on their phone or they put on their PC or otherwise? Mm-hmm. So these are some of those best practices. Another thing just to be aware of, I was in a game before, So another piece here is this game bar on Windows 10. There is the ability for the developer to know when this game bar comes up. Now, granted, this game bar is very much a user-generated or focused thing that the user invokes it when they want to record something. But you, as a game developer, are at least aware when that thing comes up. There might be the piece here where you don't want to like switch a scene or something. If someone's trying to take a screenshot, you know, you don't want to suddenly swap out of the game or go somewhere else. Just a little bit more the awareness of try the game bar with your game and just make sure that interaction makes a lot of sense for people to create screenshots as well as game DVR clips. Now there's another piece that I haven't really talked to, which is actually the title callable UI. So this is a piece that's directly applicable for the game developers. So another best practice we would like to see is when you are an Xbox Live enabled game, now this isn't a pretty UI, this is a test UI, but what we have is, I'll bring up a Show People Picker UI. So as part of the Xbox Live SDK, you have a set of title callable UI that will pop up over your screen for functions like I need to pick people or send invites for a multiplayer game. Minecraft, as an example, has already incorporated this for multiplayer invites. So hey, I can choose people, here's a couple people, I want Major Nelson, she bites on here, and I can select those people and now your game can send those invites and so forth. In addition to that, we have Show Profile Card UI. So this is another example where you can choose, let's say you have a leaderboard that you're showing in your own game, or a friend is doing something, you can actually bring up UI that shows in a consistent way what that gamer is about. Not only can that user send a quick message right from within your game, this will just pop up without the user having to leave the game, it also provides some of this functionality so your users can actually report or block someone who's really being annoying. You can mute them in chat, change the friend relationship, or there's a link to take them into the Xbox app for more spelunking on that particular user. One of the other pieces that we just added with the fall update of Threshold was the ability to also show achievements. It used to be you could call this TCUI, but it would switch you out of your game and take you into the Xbox app. Totally understand you don't want users to like leave the app and do that context switching. So here's a case where there's a very rich UI where you can the user can quickly bring up, hey, what are those achievements that I need to be able to get? You know, here's the Your Team is a Weapon as an example. Not only does it have that beautiful, colorful UI that's consistent with the rest of Xbox Live, it also has the social element where I can see, hey, these are my friends who, you know, here Doug unlocked it just 6 days ago. So it provides a really nice piece of UI, your global stats show up here, that you should just incorporate in your game for that more engagement. Okay?
Great. Thanks so much, Bill. You've given us so many great ideas to drive engagement for Xbox developers on Windows 10. What's something that developers can go do right now to get started?
Sure, that's great. And even if you're not an Xbox Live developer, what you can do right now is this Xbox app is pre-installed on Windows 10. Fire it up, like I said, play around with it, kick the tires, see how your game shows up here as you're developing your game. Just take a look at how you appear in this game itself. Use the game bar, like I said, which works with any game itself. Just try that interaction end to end. And if you do go into the ID at Xbox program or Xbox Live enable your games, do take a look at those title callable UIs that provide that consistent experience for engagement with your game.
Thanks again, Bill.
You bet.
If you're an Xbox Live developer, go ahead and check out the Xbox app on Windows 10. If you're not yet a Windows Live developer, go see the ID at Xbox team to get started, and they'll help you with the approval. And if you haven't started developing for Windows 10 yet, check out the Microsoft Dev Center, and you'll get more information about how to use the Xbox app, the game bar, and all of the great features that Bill showed us.
So we're here now with Sierra McDonald from the Xbox Live team, one of my absolute favorite people in Xbox. So we've been talking this morning with Bill and Rob about the Hub and about the Windows 10 apps, and obviously achievements and challenges kind of appear within those and throughout the platform. So what are achievements and challenges?
Achievements and challenges. So achievements are basically a goal on top of the game or a game on top of the game. So, you know, you've got this really awesome game to play or whatever, and then the achievements add these additional things for you to do inside of the game that maybe you wouldn't have done on your own. Challenges are kind of a variation on achievements because they're time-bound, date-bound goals where you can earn, instead of gamer score, you get different, like, in-game rewards, or sometimes you get concept art and different pictures that you can use as the background on your Xbox.
Very cool. Yeah. So now with the new Xbox experience that we have out, how are you seeing achievements and challenges bubble up in kind of new ways?
Yeah, so probably one of the biggest things actually is it gives the developer a chance to communicate more with the player audience through the Game Hub. And so these achievements and challenges that they've created, now they have a new way of kind of helping usher the players toward different things that they might want to do and spark a conversation around some of these achievements and challenges right within the Xbox itself. Challenges in particular, since they're date bound, add a fun little twist where then they can set a goal for the weekend and say, you know, hey, maybe this weekend, who can complete this race the quickest, something like that. So, yeah, it's kind of a cool cool twist there.
I know my own husband had to jump back online last weekend to get a challenge completed.
Oh, so. Yeah, exactly, right. Plus, it's one of those things, you hate to, you know, see your friend get it. They show up in the activity feed, yeah. and you're like, wait a minute, I need to go get that one, too. So
very cool. Yeah. So, obviously, now with all of these being surfaced at a higher level, what are some of just the overall best practices that you want to tell game developers to think about when they're designing their achievements
yeah.
and challenges?
Probably the biggest one is that, you know, it's easy for us as developers to think of achievements as a tool, right? As this awesome thing we can do to get players to play our game more, come back to our game, do these fun things. And it definitely is all of that. But the biggest thing to keep in mind is that it needs to be fun for the user also, right? Players know what achievements are. They've been around for a long time. But a lot of players really enjoy them too. Mm-hmm. And so focusing on making them fun and something that's kind of unique or exposes the player to something that they maybe wouldn't have known about before but would enjoy doing, really just keeping the focus on the player and what they get out of the achievement is probably the biggest advice. Besides that, actually, some other things to consider are the pacing of mm-hmm. your achievements. So a lot of the common guidance that we give is to have an achievement that the player can unlock within probably about the first 5 or 10 minutes of the game, something like that, just to kind of let them know they're on the right track. We have a lot of people who play, you know, maybe your game for the first time, and so the achievement is a way to ease them in and kind of give them that pat on the back and let them know that, you know, hey, you're doing something right or well. So yeah, those are a couple of the things that come to mind.
I know for me when I'm playing, I love getting that first achievement. I'm like, ooh, I wonder, you
yeah,
know, I
exactly.
start to think about what's going to come next.
Exactly.
What's going to, you know,
right.
be that next
Plus,
thing
who doesn't love
do.
That sound, you know?
I know,
so.
Exactly. Ding, gamer score.
Exactly. Yes.
Very cool. What are some of the other things, especially around challenges? Like, because I think this is, you know, obviously on 360, we've had achievements for a while,
yeah.
but on Xbox One and challenges were kind of a new thing. What are some of the things that you're seeing, like community-driven or self-player driven, or what are some of the things that are trending really well?
One of the things that I've kind of noticed is that challenges that, so a challenge can be different, you know, durations, right? And it seems like 30 days is probably a good sweet spot, for example, for setting up a challenge. There are, of course, sometimes when you want to have it for a weekend or a particular time frame, like we've seen some games that are more horror genre mm-hmm. that focus on Halloween, for example, mm-hmm. and they'll have something that's set up for maybe right before Halloween to right after. But other than that, a month seems like a pretty good amount of time to okay. allow people to, you know, make progress, especially if it's a loftier goal. So then that way they have kind of time to play and figure it out amongst their, you know, own responsibilities and schedules and things.
And then as a developer, like if you set that month-long goal, like yeah. what should you be doing then across the other areas? Like obviously you have your own social networks, but what should you yeah. be doing on console?
Yeah, one of the biggest things is, again, using the game hubs and the activity feed to its full advantage. So the people who follow your games, right, they're getting your game hub posts, your community manager's posts straight into their feed. And so if you kind of highlight, hey, this challenge is going on or this challenge is going up, really it's just a way for you to tap into your player base right there, again, on the console. So as soon as they show up, or maybe they're on, you know, their smart glass or the Xbox app on the PC, and they can kind of keep an eye on what's going on with your game and remember, like, oh, yeah, I need to get in there and play. So that's the biggest one, but related to that too, since you can, you know, share and comment and things, it really puts the power in the player's hand too, to help spread the word about something that they maybe are doing and want their friends to join them and have a little friendly competition, you know, about who can maybe get the challenge first.
Very cool. So it no longer kind of ends when you ship your game, right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Many of our games kind of continue to have a life now, and especially I think in the achievement space, because developers can actually add new achievements, right?
Yeah.
And new challenges.
Exactly. So in the 360 world, we had it where a game ships with, you know, 1,000 gamer score, and then you can add additional achievements and gamer score with each, with different DLC releases that you might do afterwards. And one of the things we did this generation was to expand on that, because we know that some games run more as a service. Some games have community management efforts that kind of go on for a longer period of time and maybe aren't tied just to DLC. They might have free content that they're putting out there, or they just might want to throw some additional challenges out, having fun with their audience, or maybe even the audience suggested some things that they want to throw out there for them to do.
I love that idea, actually,
yeah,
using
I do too.
The audience to actually let them come up with
exactly.
what the achievements or the challenges should be.
Right, because so. Who knows best what yeah. they want to do than the people who are, you know, playing your game.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. I think that especially for like a challenge weekend, that would be super, super cool to get
exactly.
to see people vote on that.
So. Exactly.
So. Very cool. And then it's just all bubbling up through the UI too
yep.
when you see people doing that activity. So
exactly.
Very
and
cool.
so that's one of the nice things too is that for the developer, it's relatively low touch. Again, you know, if you have somebody who's kind of doing the community management piece, but other than that, a lot of the, you know, tooling or the work is kind of done by Xbox to bubble those things up, and then it's just a matter of sharing them here or, you know, adding some extra commentary on top of it.
So when you think of a developer doing that initial configuration on what stats they're actually going to be tracking, right,
yeah.
that end up powering those achievements and challenges, do you have any best practices on... Like, should they just track everything? Should they, like, what are some of the best practices of figuring out what you should track?
Yeah. Well, really, it depends on the game and I guess how much logic they want to own versus how much logic they like Xbox Live to kind of take off their shoulders. So we definitely have a pretty flexible, powerful system now for unlocking the achievements. So they can set it to these different rules and things. So, you know, something like a Minecraft, right, like... play in 17 of the different biomes or 11 biomes, different things like that, where then you can track them individually if you like and say, hey, you did this one, you did that one, and then Xbox Live will do the management for you at that point to say, cool, we've got it, we can show that progress to the user. So that's probably another big factor to consider is just how much progress you want to reveal to the user.
Mm.
Personally, I definitely advocate for that, and we've seen really good response from players on that too. They really enjoy, of course you'll have achievements where it's like, defeat the tough guy, and that one you either did it or you didn't do it.
Yeah.
But for the ones where there is a bit of progression to it, it's always nice to be able to get a peekaboo and know how close you are.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Anything else that we should think about when doing
achievements? Well, so one thing actually I would say is to consider the flow of your achievements with the main playthrough of your game.
Mm.
So if you have the kind of game that can be played through, you know, and completed, typically we'd suggest having about 50, 60% of your achievements be achievable through that single playthrough. Just because a lot of people, you know, they put a lot of effort into that one playthrough and they're maybe doing most of their exploration and all these kinds of things at that time. And some people are kind of blazing through really quickly and maybe they want to do a few runs, but generally you want to make it so that they can get most of them on the first playthrough because then they'll feel a good balance of rewarded and there's still something out there for them to go get.
Very cool. That makes a lot of sense,
yeah.
actually. Well, thank you, Sierra, so much for coming on out and talking to us.
Yeah, thanks for having me over.
Yeah, so if you're looking to get all this kind of stuff set up, go ahead and check out our developer resources online in our portals, and you can also find Sierra's white papers there, and you can also check out some videos from XFest.
Yes, more gamer score!
Yes. I like that.
Sweet.
Nicely done.